Welcome to the EQ Fit Podcast. Our mission is to equip people to prosper in every aspect of their life. Whether you're at home or in the workplace, we explore practical ways of improving success, satisfaction, finding balance, and building enjoyable and beneficial relationships. Thank you for joining us. A few weeks ago, I told you that we were shifting the focus of the EQ Fit podcast to really hone in on specific areas that will help people every day. Well, the next one I want to talk about is self-confidence, or what I'm calling your confidence self, the power to achieve. Why self-confidence? Well, it's not just a personality trait or a skill. It's fundamentally an emotion. I want you to stop and think about that for just a minute. Confidence is the way that you feel. It's an emotion. And there are other similar words that I think people don't think of as emotions, but are emotions. For instance, trust. Trust is an emotion, but it's absolutely critical to build strong relationships, to get things done, to lead teams. Trust is important, just as self-confidence is. And then you have other types of emotions. And we know the standard emotions, the big ones: fear, happiness, joy, anxiety, frustration, and all of that. But there are a lot of other words in our vocabulary that we use to describe things like confidence that we don't necessarily think of from an emotional driver perspective. That's what I want to focus on today. And not just what is it, but why is it important and what can you do with it? How can you develop more of it? Because that's really what we want to think about. So like all emotions, confidence can be nurtured, it can be developed and expanded through focused effort and through intentional practice. I use a phrase all the time with people in my consulting and my coaching work. People live in the environment, the emotional environment that they choose. And I know I get a lot of pushback from some people on that. But the reality is the emotions themselves, the intensity only lasts for a few seconds in the brain. Now, if we keep revisiting the same thing in our brain over and over, we're going to trigger those same emotions. That's why people think that emotions are this long-term thing that you can't do anything about, or it's very difficult to change those. But the reality is that we can change those. We can change our emotional environment. We can literally choose the emotional environment that we want to live and work in. That's why one of the elements of your emotional environment that you should consider working on is confidence, or in this case, self-confidence. Understanding the psychology behind confidence and how emotional intelligence, how habits, how healthy mindsets influence our confidence can empower us to achieve greater personal and professional outcomes. So I want to start with a little assessment. I want you to do this for yourself. I'm going to read some things. The first group is going to be indicators of low self-confidence. Now, see if any of this sounds like you. Excessive self-criticism and negative self-talk, frequent hesitation or indecision, withdrawal from opportunities or responsibilities, persistent anxiety around performance or acceptance, difficulty accepting compliments or positive feedback. Now, I know some people don't like recognition in a large group, and that's not what I'm talking about. Can you accept compliments and positive feedback from somebody else? Okay, if you said yes to any of those, and think of confidence on a continuum, okay? some days we're going to feel more self-confident, other days maybe not as much. But we're going to end up within a given window fairly consistently. Are you on the low end of that window for self-confidence on that confidence continuum, or are you on the high end? Well, what does the high end look like? Here's some indicators of high self-confidence. Proactive engagement in new challenges, consistent and constructive self-talk, resilience and adaptability in the face of setbacks, openness to feedback and continuous improvement, a positive presence that inspires trust and reliability. It's very likely that you said yes to some of these in both groups. Well, what does that mean? Does that mean you vacillate on your confidence level? Yeah, it does. And the key here is, remember that confidence, being an emotion, is something that we can focus on, put effort into growing our self-confidence through intentional practice. That's the whole point of this episode, is to show you that this can be done. And I'm going to give you some ways to do that here in a minute. So let's dive just a little bit deeper into the psychology of confidence. Confidence is deeply rooted in your emotional landscape, emerging from self-belief and positive self-assessment. Psychologist Albert Bandura describes confidence through the concept of self-efficacy, the belief in one's capacity to execute tasks and manage challenges effectively. So how well do you manage tasks and challenges? But it is the perception of yourself you have around those things that is important here. This belief significantly impacts motivation, resilience, and goal-setting behaviors. All of those are pretty important, right? Confidence is thus not static, but a dynamic emotional state influenced by self-perception, by experiences, by feedback, and by your mindset. And that's the reason I talk so much about mindsets. And even on certain social media platforms, you will see me as EQ Fit Mindset. And there's a reason behind that, because we can control more of our emotional environment than we think we can. So let's dive deeper into that. Let's start to unpack the different elements that can help us grow our self-confidence and try to discover how those play into how we set up our mindset to grow our self-confidence and how we put the right intentional action steps in place to do that. As an emotion, confidence has specific emotional drivers. Confidence has specific emotional drivers: self-worth, optimism, resilience, and a sense of personal agency. The 6 Seconds Emotional Intelligence Model underscores that emotions drive behaviors and behaviors shape performance. Now, the way they actually say that is emotions drive people, people drive performance. When we intentionally nurture these emotional drivers, confidence grows. And by the way, there are going to be other emotional drivers that are going to be important if we're going to grow our self-confidence. So here's some key emotional intelligence skills relevant to boosting confidence. Self-awareness, which is clearly recognizing your strengths, your skills, your areas for growth, how you're showing up for other people, all of that's important. The second one is self-regulation, managing emotional responses to maintain composure and clarity in challenging situations. One of the worst things we can do for our self-confidence is to just blurt something out and then regret it later, or to not be as intentional as we would like to be in our communications, in our decisions, in our actions. And sometimes it doesn't affect anybody but ourselves, but that still takes a toll on our self-confidence. Motivation. Cultivating intrinsic motivation to push beyond setbacks. That's a big one when it comes to being able to grow and develop our self-confidence. And then the last two are empathy and social skills. Building supportive relationships that affirm self-worth. That's another feeling that is going to have a direct impact on your self-confidence. That's self-worth. A lot of people in our world today, unfortunately, do not have a high degree of self-worth. They don't feel that worthy, and that's a shame. There are other feelings as well, like belonging or safety. How much does someone feel like they belong? How much does someone feel like they're in a safe place? All of those will directly impact our self-confidence. If we can take those skills and improve those, we can enhance our emotional drivers, which boosts overall confidence. That's what we're trying to get to here. Now, how does habit come in here? Because we have productive habits, we have counterproductive habits. How does that play into self-confidence? Productive habits consistently reinforce positive emotional states and beliefs. The habit story assessment that I use quite frequently, probably with just about everybody I work with, it illustrates how habits form through emotional triggers. It predicts success. It predicts how things are going to go for people and actions. And there's reinforcement in that process. There is this, think of a infinity sign, okay? So there's a cue and a trigger of some kind that leads to some kind of response and a decision and an action. And then we either reinforce that or we try to extinguish it if it's a habit that we don't like. And that's a cycle that just continues. So it just, in that kind of sideways figure eight, it just continues and continues. Well, the more that those habits are productive and the better outcomes that we get, the higher our level of self-confidence. But on the other hand, counterproductive habits like sabotage, like blame shift, like dismiss and deny, so many of those are going to negatively impact our self-confidence because we know that they are eroding that confidence within us. So we want to cultivate those productive habits, which will then influence the growth of our confidence, our self-confidence. So there's so much here, and there's so much I want to share with you about this. It's amazing how much little things every day will impact our confidence level. So on the other hand, let's talk about those counterproductives again for just a second. Excessive self-criticism, avoidance of challenges, procrastination, constant comparison to others. Hey, do you scroll social media all the time? That's not necessarily healthy if you're not in the right mindset. If you're looking at other people and wishing you had their life, number one, the life that they present on social media is probably not their real life. Number two, comparison is not a healthy thing. It doesn't really add a lot of value to your life. So just think through that as you, and you may be a parent thinking about your children right now. You may be a leader thinking about your team members and how your team members may be comparing themselves to each other. You may be an owner thinking about your entire organization. You may be a grandparent thinking about your grandkids and your kids. There are so many ways that this can help if we help people understand that there are certain habits that will be more productive And there are certain habits that are going to be counterproductive. And it just doesn't make sense to feed and grow those counterproductive habits. So where does self-confidence really originate? It originates from a variety of sources. Early life experiences, where positive reinforcement and supportive relationships in our childhood kind of help shape that self-confidence. It may be past successes. Each achievement reinforces belief in our personal competence. Therefore, we gain confidence because of that. It could be external validation and feedback. Constructive feedback from trusted peers and mentors can boost our self-assurance and our confidence. Internal beliefs and mindsets. This is a really important one because this is also where your motivation, your intrinsic motivation, is going to come from. Internal beliefs and mindsets. Growth-oriented mindsets, viewing failures as opportunities for learning, significantly enhance confidence. So if you see a mistake as a problem and a disaster, that is not going to build your self-confidence. But if you see a mistake or if you see a failure or a setback as an opportunity to learn and grow, then you have every possibility of developing more of that strength in your self-confidence. So now I want to turn it to some very practical ways to intentionally build your self-confidence. I know I've said this before, but I'm going to say it again because I think it's important to repeat this. Building confidence requires intentional actions. This is not just something you go, I think I want more of that, and then it just happens. You have to do something to get there. So what can we do? Engaging in continual learning and skill building. That is a wonderful way to build your self-confidence. You know, completing an online course, reading a book, doing something that is going to add to your knowledge, add to your learning, add to your skill levels. Number two, challenging yourself regularly with progressively demanding tasks. So I was recently talking to an owner who's looking to hire two or three people. I also do searches for certain companies, certain clients that I have. And he was saying, yeah, but this guy's got 20 years of experience. I said, no, he's got 1 year of experience 20 times. It's not the same thing. And why do I say it that way? Because this person never challenged themselves with that next level. So they stayed doing the same job over and over, year after year, for 20 years. Now, I'm sure he's really, really good at doing that thing, but that isn't exactly what this owner needs. He needs somebody that is at a higher level of experience, a higher level of knowledge, and most importantly, has a growth mindset because it's a growth-oriented company. Okay, here's the next one. Practicing self-compassion to maintain emotional resilience during setbacks. This is so important. If you have a setback and beat yourself up about it, what are you doing? Don't do that. Other people will be happy to beat you up when you have a setback or a failure. Don't do that to yourself. That is self-limiting behavior. It is behavior that will keep you down. Be compassionate, empathy toward yourself. Here's another one, leveraging mentorship and support networks to receive constructive feedback. I highly recommend you find two or three people. I am that person to many of the people that I coach, executive coaching and leadership coaching. I am that person for many people, but you need more than one. And it's so important to get that constructive feedback. People who'll be willing to look at you and say, you know, that wasn't really good. And you really kind of messed up on that. But, you know, here's some things to think about. You need somebody to hold the mirror up for you to look into. And if you're afraid of that, or if your ego is so big you can't do that, then don't listen. Sorry, that's probably not the right thing to say. But seriously, that's a fixed mindset. That's where ego overpowers others. And that's not what I'm all about. I'm about equipping people to prosper in every aspect of their life. And that means a growth mindset and as far away from a fixed mindset and high ego needs as possible. Here's another one to think about. Utilizing affirmations and visualization techniques to reinforce positive self-belief. You know what? It's okay to celebrate the small wins as much as the big ones. It's okay to pat yourself on the back, just don't hurt your shoulder. But it's okay to do that because what happens in that process is you're building up your self-confidence. Now, make sure it's real and authentic and there's a real reason for it. I mean, if you're just doing it to do it, that doesn't make a lot of sense. So how do we track progress here? If you're on this journey to build self-confidence, how do we track that? Well, here's one way. Regular journaling of successes, lessons learned, and emotional responses. I think this is really important. And I know a lot of people, I don't have time for that, I'm too busy. You know what I wish I had? If I had a dollar for every time somebody said I'm too busy, I would be a very rich man right now. Because everybody says it and they say it several times a day. The reality here is you need to have some margin in your life so that you can capture these important things that happen and you can learn from them. Otherwise, you're just doomed to make the same mistakes and go through the same errors over and over and over. And you're not going to enhance your growth. Here's a second thing. Seeking and reflecting upon structured feedback from trusted peers and mentors. This reflection thing is really important. Don't just hear what they have to say one time. Think about it. What does it mean? What is their perspective? What did they say? What else might it mean? How can you use that? How can you leverage it? What golden nuggets are inside of what they're telling you in that feedback that could be so beneficial to you? And then another one is periodically reassessing emotional intelligence skills through validated assessments, such as the ones that I provide from 6 Seconds or from LifeThrive. This is important. It's important to take some measures along the way to track your progress, because that alone will give you more self-confidence. So for instance, let's say it's the habit story assessment and you've got a couple of counterproductive habits that you're really trying to diminish so the productive habits can come to the forefront and be more visible and be more effective in your life. Well, let's say that they're scores of 60 and 70 right now, but in a few months' time, they're 40 and 50. And then a few months later, they're 20 and 30. You are on a wonderful trajectory there to diminish those counterproductives and really enhance your productive skills. That has got to give you more self-confidence. Now I want to dive into just a few practical action steps that you can take to boost your self-confidence. Number one, set and achieve small goals. I want to stress small goals. Establish clear, achievable targets that gradually build your confidence through accumulated successes. Now, if you're a leader and you already do these things, or you're an owner, you already do these things, you're really well honed in on your self-confidence and all of that, please listen to me carefully. This is how you can really help your people. Because I guarantee you they are not as self-confident as you might be. So maybe you're listening at a couple of different levels, one for yourself and one for those around you. So set and achieve those small goals. Number two, practice positive affirmations. Replace negative self-talk with affirmations emphasizing strengths and capabilities. Now, that has to be authentic. I don't want fake stuff. We shouldn't be going around giving fake praise to people because that's not helpful. Be authentic, be genuine with it to yourself and to others, but do it. honestly, the last Gallup numbers I saw related to the percentage of employees that never get feedback is around 68%. And as far as I'm concerned, that is a crime, because employees need feedback. It doesn't always have to be positive or praising them. Maybe it's constructive feedback. I'd like to see this change for you. I'd like to see you grow in this area. But give good feedback to people. And that includes yourself. Don't be your own worst critic. Don't beat yourself up. Get your self-talk in a good, productive, positive place. Number three, develop a growth mindset. I could talk about this for days. View mistakes as valuable learning experiences rather than failures. Now, if you're a leader and you're listening to me, you may already have conquered this for yourself, but I know you can name one or two people you know that struggle with this, where they see this making a mistake as something horrible, critical, fatal. Okay, we've got to help them get past that. Number four, seek constructive feedback. Regularly solicit feedback to understand your strengths and areas for growth clearly. I love doing Leadership 360s for leaders because they need that feedback. Now, I have leaders tell me in the feedback sessions I give them when the report comes out, well, they don't understand. They don't, you know, they're wrong. It doesn't matter. It doesn't really matter what the scores are, because the reality is the way that people are perceiving you as a leader is the way they're perceiving you as a leader, which is impacting how they perform on the job. So even if you don't think it's right, and maybe it's not, maybe you're doing great and they don't think you're doing great, it doesn't matter, because the leadership impact, the influence, somewhere there's a gap. They're not feeling it. They're not experiencing that excellence that you believe you're giving. It's why I love to give Leadership 360s. Now, on the other hand, I love to give them as well, because a lot of leaders will look at that and go, wow, I had no idea people thought that highly of me. You know what I tell them? When their scores are lower and their people scores are higher, there's a lot of unrealized potential here. You've got a lot you can leverage here that you're not leveraging. So let's figure out how to do that. That's why the 360s are so important. Here's the fifth one. Reflect and adjust. Take regular time to assess your emotional state, your behaviors, and your outcomes to continuously refine your confidence-building strategies. Building self-confidence is a continuous, evolving journey marked by growing emotional insight, intentional habit formation or transformation, and a commitment to personal growth. By understanding and harnessing these powers, the power of emotional intelligence, of mindsets, of motivators, and productive habits, you can unlock your potential and you can achieve greater success and satisfaction in every aspect of life. Isn't that where we all want to be? Thank you for joining us for this episode. If you have any questions about this week's episode, or maybe a suggestion for future episodes you'd like us to explore, please contact us through our website at eqfit.org. For more information and inspiration, connect with us on LinkedIn, Facebook, and YouTube at eqfit.